The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll love Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama. In the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Starring Mr. Peter Lorre in Mr. God Johnson. And now here is the director of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Les Mitchell.
It's a great pleasure to welcome our star this week. Peter, I can't talk with that knife against my throat.
Come on, read the introduction the way I told you, will you?
Yeah, sure, of course. It's a great pleasure to welcome our star this week, the young, handsome, lovable leading man, Mr. Peter Lorre.
Oh, I like that, Les. Thank you.
Will you take the knife away now?
All right, but you do have a nice throat, Les.
Well, I hope our writer's satisfied, Peter. Now you can be serious. You see, friends, our writer thought you'd recognize Peter Lorre best in a menacing role. He is not playing a menacing role in this week's play, and I'd like to say that it's a great pleasure to be able to present him in a part that shows his ability to play a completely different character than those he usually does. But you can leave that knife in your other suit, Peter.
All right, Les, all right, if you insist.
Good. And now, here is Van Desitel.
Say, Les, do you know what week this is?
Well, of course I do, Van. This is National Peanut Week.
That's right. Now tell me this. What do people do to observe National Peanut Week?
Why, eat peanuts, I guess.
Well, I can't think of a better way. And certainly this is the week that the people who raise and sell peanuts are telling all their friends what a fine food it is. That peanuts are nutritious as well as delicious. And I'd like to add that Skippy is peanuts in their most delicious, most digestible form. Yes, Skippy gives you the exact flavor of luscious, plump, freshly roasted peanuts. And thanks to a new and exclusive process, Skippy is as digestible as it is delicious. You see, the Skippy process prevents any oil separation, so Skippy never dries out, never turns rancid. Skippy is always fresh, sweet, and easy to spread. So try Skippy, friends. Make National Peanut Week your week to find out why Skippy is the world's largest selling peanut butter, and why we say, if you like peanuts, you'll love Skippy. The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Mr. God Johnson, adapted by Fred Howard from the story by Edward Kimbrough and starring Mr. Peter Lorre. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
It was as pretty a day for a hanging as ever I saw. If Mr. God Johnson had been coming in the store to set around that morning, instead of waiting up there in the jail to be hanged, I reckon it was the kind of a day he would have called Goaty in that funny little foreign voice of his. He'd have said,
"Ah, it's real Goaty weather, Jeremy. It makes a man want to kick up his heels and bah, like a goat." Well, yes, I'll have a pickle, Jeremy, but I want a nice pickle, a big, juicy pickle, and I want a box of soda crackers. You know, I can't seem to get my throat clear without a pickle in the morning. See, did I ever tell you about that silly man in the old country who...
Yep, he would have been sitting there looking like a midget at the county fair, little as he was, and that pickle he sucked on almost as big as his head. Yep, it was as pretty a day for a hanging as I ever saw. And there was I, the only man in town that believed Mr. God Johnson was innocent. I tell you, Pettigrew, the only way Mr. God could have killed anybody would have been to plumb talk him into the hereafter.
Yeah, that's just the trouble with him. Talk, talk, talk. He's always got to give his idea on any subject that comes to mouth.
Oh, shucks. Folks like to hear him talk. They never pay him no attention when he gets off his tall stories and aims to talk serious. You ought to know that, Doc. It was you that stuck that name of Mr. Guard onto him.
Well, yes, I guess I didn't get a little riled that day. We were sitting around the store here, same as we are now. And I was telling how... Yeah, maybe she'll pull through, and maybe not. Appendicitis is a pretty serious matter.
Oh, of course it's serious, but there's a very easy way to cure it.
Is that so? You must tell me about it, Johnson.
It's really very simple. All you do is, Doc, you use a mild poultice of mustard seeds and cornstarch. I know it works.
Johnson, I reckon you and God know about everything. But I reckon you figure you know might more than he does, Mr. God Johnson.
Look, Doc, look. There's really no sense.
You shouldn't have gotten mad at him, Doc.
Well, I just counted on him putting some humbleness into his soul.
All of which goes to show how as smart a man as you are can misread a man if he ain't careful. Calling him that didn't change Mr. God one way or another. Didn't stop him talking none.
If he just didn't talk so funny. People in these parts always mistrust anybody that don't talk like they do.
And changing his name to Johnson didn't do any good. People knew he was a foreigner.
That still don't make me see how any of you can believe he done this murder.
Why, it's psychological. It's just a thing a little man like him would do. Oh, not out of meanness, but just so he'd have a good story to tell.
Now, let's get down to facts. You all know that Mr. God ain't got but one relative. His uncle, old Fritz Schweitzer.
He'd be better off if he hadn't the one. Seeing as how old Fritz got himself killed, and that's how Mr. God's in jail, charged with the killing.
And folks say Mr. God had a grudge against old Fritz Schweitzer.
That ain't true. He never had a grudge against anybody. It was Fritz that had a grudge against him. Being his uncle, he thought he should be able to order Mr. God around, like he did his wife's kinfolks.
Yes, but Mr. God didn't have any alibi. You all know he hadn't been home the night old Fritz was chopped up. In fact, folks testified that they'd seen him coming along Good Hope Road down by Fritz's place that same night.
Yep, and you know what Mr. God said about that at the trial.
Order! Order, please! Now go on, Mr. God.
Yes, Mr. Sheriff, I know where Good Hope Road is. I do understand what night you're talking about, and I've never denied being there.
And you do admit you were there?
Yes, just I've admitted it all along.
Well, why were you there? That's something you haven't told us.
Why? Look, Mr. Sheriff, can't a man take a jog in the moonlight without people making him out to be a murderer?
A jog in the moonlight or a jug of moonshine, Mr. Johnson?
Both or either, Your Honor.
I knew he shouldn't have said that, but he never was one to miss a chance at a joke. I knew after that he didn't have a chance. A jury in these parts believes a drunk man will do anything.
As far as that's concerned, there wasn't a one on that jury that could understand a man going out to walk in the moonlight.
Well, all I can say is that ain't enough evidence to hang a man on.
Has anybody been up to see him since he was sentenced?
I was. I went up the day the trial was over. Took him over some pickles and crackers. We talked. There wasn't nothing could stop Mr. God from talking.
They've given me isn't the most luxurious room in the world, but it isn't bad, Jeremy.
Do they treat you all right?
Well, I have no complaint. Maybe except for the absence of pickles in a jail diet. I can't understand how they expect a man to meet his maker without a clear throat. You know, in case he has to speak up before judgment.
Aren't you scared?
Scared? Say, did you ever hear the story about the fellow a salesman tried to sell a book to, and the fellow said he had a book? Well, that's how it is, Jeremy. I have lived. I could live some more, but it isn't necessary. Thanks for the pickles, Jeremy. I do hope there is a general store up in heaven. But I am going to feel like a fool when I have to watch keeping my wings out of the pickle barrel.
Yep, it's a pretty day for hanging. But I ain't got the heart to spoil it by going down and seeing an innocent man hang. So I'm walking and thinking. I'm up by Mr. God's house now. It's a runt of a house. A lonesome house. And there's a lonesome hound sniffing around it, waiting for him to come home. waiting, even though it seems to know he never will. And I'm wondering why he didn't never have a wife. And then I remember him saying...
Why I haven't ever married? Well, Jeremy, you see, I was brought up to regard marriage from a very practical point of view, and this is how it looks to me. If I had a woman little enough for me to boss, she'd be too small to do the work around the place. And if I had one big enough to do the work, she'd be an Amazon compared to me, and my life would be miserable. So I leave marriage to those men more able to cope with it, and I'm quite happy in single blessedness. Quite happy.
Now, as I'm walking, I begin to regret that I didn't have the courage to be there in town at the hanging, to say goodbye to a friend who I know has done no wrong. So I turn back. My footsteps are faster now. And so I return to my little story, to wait for the news that I know is certain to come. And they're coming now. That hanging must be over. All of them are coming. All except Judge Hamilton and the sheriff.
Howdy, Jeremy.
Oh. Howdy.
What would you say, Jeremy, if Mr. Guard was to walk in here right now?
I'd say it'd serve you all right for deserting him. If he haunted you all into heart's disease, it wouldn't be more than you deserve, the way you done him.
I'm ashamed, Jeremy. I ought to know it all along he wasn't guilty.
Well, this is a fine time to know it, after he's in his coffin, dead. And you...
But he ain't.
He ain't? Didn't you hang him?
Yeah, we hung him all right, but...
You hanged him and he ain't dead?
No, Jeremy, he ain't.
Praise God. There's glory in this day after all. But wait a minute. Pettigrew, you was to be the hangman. Did you bungle the job?
No, I swear I didn't. I did have a notion Mr. God didn't weigh enough to hang good.
Now let me tell it, Pettigrew. Jeremy has a right to get it straight.
Can't make me believe it's anything less than a miracle.
Praise the Lord, amen.
Now listen, Jeremy. Pettigrew and the sheriff brought Mr. Guard out into the jail yard at sunrise. Mr. Guard climbed up on the scaffold as calm as you please. He stood there, looking just like a little bantam rooster. And for once, he didn't have much to say. Just stood there smiling as the sheriff stepped up to him.
Hate to do this, Mr. Guard, but you was proved guilty. Have you any last words?
No, I guess I've just about to run out of words.
Any last request?
No, only that you let me shake your hand and say goodbye.
And that's just what he did, Jeremy. Then Pettigrew here put the black cloth over his head and slipped the noose down.
It was a good noose. I never made a better one, I swear.
Outside the fence, the crowd got still as folks in graves. Pettigrew raised his hand, and the trapdoor opened with a little clap. Mr. Guard fell. The noose caught and held him for a minute. And then... just as quiet as could be, Mr. Guard went down, slipping free of the noose, and disappeared through the trapdoor.
Amen.
And there the noose hung, empty, moving back and forth in the breeze.
Like the hand of God had loosed it. There was Mr. Guard laying down there under the platform, still and quiet, with just the sign of a rope burn on his neck. Hey, Doc, come here a minute.
What happened to the crew? Rope break?
No. Hey, take a look at him. Is he dead?
Well, I don't know. Listen to that crowd. Better hold them back, Sheriff.
Don't have to. They're orderly enough and scared.
All right, you're the sheriff. Now, Let's see. Hey, Doc. Huh? He ain't dead. Look. He's opening his eyes.
Well, what do you know? Does look like you've learned to do your job right, Mr. Pettigrew. I swear I could have done it better myself.
He's alive! He's alive! He ain't dead! Oh, I see a miracle! The Lord has been witness a miracle!
A miracle! And I swear to God I need that news proper. I swear!
Well, I suppose we'd better climb back up and try it again, huh? But I swear, Mr. Pettigrew, I hope you don't mean to make this a real far-fetched hanging where a man can't fit his nose.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Mr. God Johnson, starring Mr. Peter Lorre. Now, here is Van der Zettel. Say, what's this I hear about your little nephew coming home with a black eye the other day, Van?
Oh, poor Rodney. He had to learn about democracy the hard way. You see, his classmates elected him president, and when his first act was to confiscate all their bubble gum, one indignant citizen objected. You can bet that from now on, Rod will take a vote on everything. You know, that's the beauty of democracy, Les. You get a chance to vote for what you want. That's just as true of products as anything else. For example, if people want to buy Skippy, they buy it. Not because they have to, but because they want to. And the fact that Skippy is the world's largest selling peanut butter proves it's the choice of the majority. Sure, people cast their vote for Skippy, because Skippy gives you the exact flavor of luscious, plump, freshly roasted peanuts. And Skippy gets reelected again and again because it keeps that wonderful flavor right down to the last delicious spoonful. You see, Skippy is different from old-style peanut butters because it's made by a new and exclusive process. That's why the oil in Skippy never separates. That's why Skippy is always fresh, sweet, and easy to spread. So try Skippy, friends. Find out why Skippy is the people's choice and why we say if you like peanuts, you'll love Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Mr. Peter Lorre as Mr. God Johnson.
It was a miracle, nothing less.
It's God's will.
Come on, Mr. God. Get up. Can you stand on your feet?
Why, I think so. See?
Yeah, what are we going to do now, Sheriff?
Well, I'm blamed if I know.
Let him go! Let him go! It's a miracle! Let him go!
I declare I've never heard so much fuss over a little mishap.
Gentlemen, quiet. Wait,
please.
That's Lawyer Buford.
What you got to say, Buford?
Well, folks, you
want
to know what I think?
Well, say it, Buford.
Go on, tell it. How about you, Sheriff? Do you want to know what I think?
I'd be much obliged.
Well, I think you've put his life in jeopardy once, and I don't think you can do it again. You can't put a man in double jeopardy. That's the law.
Well, now, I don't know. Now, folks, wait a minute. Fact is, I knowed all along he was as innocent as the infant Moses. I'll let him go.
Now, you see, that's very nice, huh? See, you can't beat the Lord when it comes to looking out for a man, but isn't it one of his mysterious ways, the way he made that nose slip, huh? I swear, doesn't the Lord get around, huh?
Good morning, Mr. God.
Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning.
Help yourself to a pickle. And take a box of crackers. You're on me this morning.
Thank you, Jeremy. Don't mind if I do. Much obliged. Ah, real goaty weather, huh? Makes a man want to frolic like a puppy.
I'm real glad to see you.
I aim to...
You know, I've been missing my pickles for breakfast. Looks like it takes just a picket to clear out my throat in the morning.
I could have set you some over every morning at a thought.
You thought enough. Say, Jeremy, did you ever taste any pickled tomatoes? You know, sliced up and sort of sweet and crisp. You know something? I courted a bow-legged girl once who made them that way. Oh, and I came pretty near forgetting her bow legs when I ate her pickles. If she hadn't had a voice like a squeeze box out of tune, I might have done it, too.
Hey, doggone you, Mr. God. Can't nothing make you stop telling them tall tales?
No.
I reckon I understand. You're just trying to make it seem like always. You won't let yourself stop talking. And here I am wanting to ask you how it was to be all ready to die and then not do it. Oh, dag-dog it. Morning, Doc.
Morning, Joan.
Morning, Doc.
Morning, Mr. Garland.
Morning. Have a picker?
I reckon you know what Dory Scanlon did when he heard about what happened at the jail yesterday.
Oh, what?
Oh, now, Doc, please. There's no use in spreading unpleasant stories.
What about Dory?
He went all to pieces. Came in town last night and gave himself up.
For what?
For killing old Fritz Schweitzer. They'd fallen out over a debt.
Well, I'll be dogged. Did you know about that, Mr. God?
Yes, I know. Dory came and then he begged my pardon before he went to see the sheriff. I feel really sorry for Dory.
Sorry for him? Hades and hives.
Yes, you see, Dory and I, we used to go courting together. We courted a couple of sisters one time. You know, Dory, he had a guitar, and there's nothing like music for courting a woman. Proper, I mean.
No, sir, you couldn't change Mr. God. He dropped back into his old habits as the days slipped by, and nothing about him was any different. But there was a difference in the way folks listened to him without giving him any argument, in the way they treated him like something more than human. Afternoon, Miss Pettigrew.
Afternoon, Jeremy.
And what'll it be this afternoon?
About a half pound of sugar, I guess. No, don't reckon I'll ever get a chance to use it. Seeing judgment day's here.
Judgment day? Now look here, Miss Pettigrew.
You better be careful how you talk, Jeremy. What with all the goings on this past week?
Goings on? What in the world are you talking about?
Don't tell me you ain't heard.
I ain't heard anything. Now come on, Miss Pettigrew. Oh, what's this about the goings-on and Judgment Day?
You'd think so, too, Jeremy, if you'd seen a man hanged and he not die, and then seen your old man spend the whole night chewing tobacco and spitting the juice on the cotton plants.
Did old Pettigrew do that?
And that ain't all. Old Doc Puckett put a drop of high life on old Lady Swenson, who's been paralyzed for as long as I can remember, and she jumped up out of her wheelchair and come after Doc with a pump handle.
Well, I'll be dead dog.
And Bilbo Boone's sister put a poultice of whole mustard seeds and cornstarch on her ailing side and throwed her bottle on her ailing side and throwed her bottle of medicine right through the window. And come to think of it, Jeremy, I won't be needing that half pound of sugar. I don't care what the almanac says. It's the world's end. I'm going home and make myself ready.
So here I am again, walking out to Mr. God's little runt of a house. Seems to me the crazy happenings of the last week must have had something to do with him.
Hello, Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy. I'm glad I saw you before I left.
Well, what you doing with that suitcase?
Oh, I packed it this afternoon after coming back from Pettigrew's. He's going to be all right. Might be nothing more than indigestion.
Well, how come you're leaving? What's wrong with Pettigrew?
Oh, he's sick. He went out and spit tobacco all night last night, and this evening he had a heart. And this evening he had a heart. And this evening he had a heart attack or something.
I heard about him spitting tobacco. Biggest bunch of plum foolishness I ever heard of. Him a grown man.
I know.
All the rest of this craziness. All about Doc Punkett and old Lady Swenson and Bilbo Boone's sister.
Look at me, Jeremy. Is there anything about me that looks like God? That looks like God?
Oh, now, Johnson, we're just joshing calling you Mr. God. You know that.
You are, and the rest of them used to, but not anymore. I declare, it does look as if a man could be hanged and live to tell about it without all that foolishness you were talking about. Do you know who caused it?
Well, I suppose...
I did it. I never aimed to. I just sat there in a store and talked like I always do, making up big tales, and look what happened. Oh, they took me serious, Jeremy.
Well, is that all? I ought to know.
It is nothing to laugh at. Do you realize that I won't ever be able to open my mouth again in this county without being taken serious?
Oh, now folks are going to forget soon enough about the hanging.
No, Jeremy, no. They've done me into a kind of a prophet, like in the Bible. And even after I got them into trouble, they came back to me asking my advice. Why, I won't be able to ever open my mouth.
Well, looks to me like you could do a heap of good, if that's how it is. Looks like you could tell folks how to act. And if there's any meanness going on, you could stop it.
But I am not God. I'm just a man, full of mistakes like everybody else. I'm just not equal to being more than a man. It's a bad time, Jeremy. It's a bad time when people are so hard up for belief they've got to make an accident into a miracle and believing in just anybody.
But you could be the biggest man this town ever saw. Why, there ain't a thing you couldn't have here. And if you wanted to go into politics...
Yeah, and have people like Mr. Pettigrew paying for my mistakes. Oh, no. No, no, Jeremy. Just let me shake your hand and go. I've got to go while I know that it's right. And before some more of them come asking me for advice. And if any of them do come, Jeremy, you say I left word for them. You tell them that I said for them to depend on what they know is right, on themselves, on God. Did you hear me, Jeremy? Did you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I heard.
All right.
Where are you going?
Going. I'm going where I can be a man and where if anybody ever calls me Mr. God, he won't mean it. And where I can find a general store that has good pickers. And I can come into it and sit down and talk and not have a single soul take what I say for the Lord's truth. I'm going where I can be true to myself.
And the curtain falls on Act Two, the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Mr. God Johnson, starring Peter Lorre, who returns in just a moment.
Skippy is peanuts in their most digestible form. Yes, thanks to a new and exclusive process, Skippy peanut butter is as digestible as it is delicious. If you prefer creamy-style Skippy, buy the blue label jar. It's smooth and creamy. Or if you prefer chunk-style Skippy, buy the red label jar. It's creamy, too, with crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. Both styles stay fresh, sweet, and easy to spread. Whichever you prefer. If you like peanuts, you'll love Skippy. Now, here is our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Mr. Peter Lorre. Peter, thank you for a splendid performance.
Thank you, Les, for letting me do such a beautiful story. And if you like the way I did it, have me back real soon, will you?
Okay, Peter, that's a deal, and it'll be my pleasure.
I do want to thank the wonderful cast that worked with us, and I do want to thank the man who adapted the story in addition to playing the part of Jeremy, Fred Howard. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, and thank you, Peter Lorre.
In the cast, you heard our star, Peter Lorre, as Mr. God Johnson, Fred Howard as Jeremy, Earl Lee as Pettigrew, Gwen Delano as Mrs. Pettigrew, Herb Butterfield as Doc, and Charlie Long as the Sheriff. Music was composed and directed by Del Castillo. Mr. God Johnson, from the story by Edward Kimbrough, was adapted for radio by Fred Howard. Edited by Bud Lesser, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
We hope you'll be with us each and every week and hear such stars as Virginia Bruce, Cesar Romero, Max Baer, and I'm looking forward to an acting role very soon.
Mr. Peter Lorre will shortly be seen in Rope of Sand, a Hal Wallace production. Van Desitel speaking. For the Skippy Hollywood Theater, this program is produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.